How could neurofeedback be used to help treat trauma? As Seaburn explained, with neurofeedback, we hope to intervene in the circuitry that promotes and sustains states of fear and traits of fearfulness, shame, and rage. It is the repetitive firing of these circuits that defines trauma. Patients need to help change the habitual brain patterns created by trauma and its aftermath. When the fear patterns relax, the brain becomes less susceptible to automatic stress reactions and better able to focus on ordinary events. After all, stress is not an inherent property of events themselves. It is a function of how we label and react to them. Neurofeedback simply stabilizes the brain and increases resiliency, allowing us to develop more choices in how to respond. The birth of neurofeedback. Neurofeedback was not a new technology in 2007. As early as the late 1950s, University of Chicago psychology professor Joe Kamiya, who was studying the phenomenon of internal perception, had discovered that people could learn through feedback to tell when they were producing alpha waves, which were associated with relaxation. It took some subjects only 4 days to reach 100% accuracy. He then demonstrated that they could also enter voluntarily into an alpha state in response to a simple sound cue. In 1968, an article about Kamiya's work was published in the popular magazine Psychology Today, and the idea that alpha training could relieve stress and stress-related conditions became widely known. The first scientific work showing that neurofeedback could have an effect on pathological conditions was done by Barry Sterman at UCLA. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration had asked Sterman to study the toxicity of a rocket fuel, monomethylhydrazine, known as MMH, which was known to cause hallucinations, nausea, and seizures. Sterman had previously trained some cats to produce a specific EEG frequency known as the sensory motor rhythm. In cats, this alert, focused state is associated with waiting to be fed. He discovered that while his ordinary lab cats developed seizures after exposure to MMH, the cats that had received neurofeedback did not. The training had somehow stabilized their brains. In 1971, Sterman attached his first human subject, 23-year-old Mary Fairbanks, to a neurofeedback device. She had suffered from epilepsy since the age of 8, with grand mal seizures 2 or more times a month. She trained for an hour a day, twice a week. At the end of 3 months, she was virtually seizure-free. Sterman subsequently received a grant from the National Institutes of Health to conduct a more systematic study, and the impressive results were published in the journal Epilepsia in 1978.